I love this. It's one of my favorite themes of all time. Let's bring in the Hall of Famer, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, who joins us now. Brutus, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great.
Thanks so much.
What a day we got going here.
I know. Thanks so much for doing this. I know you have to be excited to come to Nashville. After all these years in the wrestling business and your career, how special is it to be able to interact with fans of all generations like you're going to see this weekend?
Oh, I love it. That's why I still go out and do this stuff as much as I can.
Does it kind of like hit you at certain points when, you know, so many people walk up to you and they, you know, they want to talk to you, they want to hear stories, you know, whether it's about, you know, guys you fought back in the day or Hogan or what have you? I mean, does it still just kind of floor you that there's so many people that want to hear your stories?
It does. I mean, it seems like there's more than ever. I mean, the most asked question is, what was your greatest match? I go, well, I don't know. I think I have 10,000 matches. So that's a harder question than you know you're asking there. It's like I wrestled for over 42 years. And so that's a lot of wrestling.
Yeah, no doubt. How much do you keep up with the business nowadays?
Brother, after 42 years, I'm kind of just glad to be away from it and not worry about it, not have to go that direction. I just chill and when I can at home TV's on movie channel.
Feel that.
Good for you. We're joined by Brutus the Barber Beefcake on the Chase and Big Joe show. Let's go back to the start when you got into this. I got a question. Says, please ask him how he got his nickname. How did you get the name Brutus the Barber Beefcake?
Well, it's actually, it was Brutus Beefcake. And three years after that, after WrestleMania 3, then Pat Patterson, I don't know, he's not with us anymore, came up with this idea to call me the barber because I helped Piper shave Adrian's head. They gave me a warning. They told me nothing. And I was really pissed. I said, this is not right. I've worked so hard to get Bruce Beefcake at the top of the list of competitors for WWF, and now you're going to change my name and lay this barber gimmick on me that has nowhere to go. So it didn't look good, man. Only just with Hogan's help, he came up with the idea to use the sleeper hold that Piper used and really had been over real strong. So he used the sleeper hold, put people to sleep, and then pull scissors out and cut their hair. And I mean, everybody gets a sleeper hold, especially on the TV matches, and then everybody gets a haircut. And I mean everybody. And when that happened, and that kept happening and happening and happening, the people not only accepted it, but it was so different. It was so outside the box. You know, I thought really, actually, Pat Patterson would set me up to fail. He wanted me to be a flaming gay guy from San Francisco. I decided I was going to be more like a Chippendale dancer from California, wherever. And that's what I went with. And I don't think they were happy. He was set me up to fail, give me this barber thing. And lo and behold, it turned out to be better than anybody remotely had any imagination could happen. Because it's just plug in that crazy Brutus knack for getting crazy and doing innovative stuff. My outfits changed the whole wrestling business. You know, some of the guys are still wearing their ugly old blue jeans with holes in them, but a lot of guys aren't, you know, and so, you know, it was just up to me to try to make it as good as I can. And so I pulled out all the stops and did everything possible I could think of, and then some. And then the barber became a a legend.
Oh, absolutely it is. We're talking the Brutus the Barber Beefcake. He'll be in town at the Music City MultiCon happening this weekend in Lebanon. MusicCityMultiCon.com for more information. Brutus, my son never saw you wrestle. He's 18 years old. Huge fan because he saw you on YouTube and everything. What's it like when you go to these events, when you meet these kids who never saw you wrestle live, yet absolutely adore you because of what you did in the 80s and 90s and know you that way? It's got to be a wonderful feeling.
It's a great feeling. There's a whole generation, you know, from the 80s and 90s. I mean, that was a long time ago, man. That was 20, 30 years ago. And so, you know, there's a lot of people, real youngsters now. They're being brought up on the reruns from our old school 80s and 90s stuff. And I got to be honest with you, you know, I've watched the new stuff too, but it doesn't compare with the talent that the superstars that Vince created in the 80s and 90s that were competing, the level of professionalism, the amount of talent, the toughness and the precision that the guys, you know, had great pride in their work and that all these first 6, 7, 9, 10 WrestleManias, a lot of the same guys, you know, were instrumental in making all those happen. And I don't know, how do you argue with that kind of success?
We're talking to Brutus Beefcake here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. So 2019, you go in the WWE Hall of Fame. The Hulkster inducted you. Who called you? Who called you to let you know that that was going to happen, and what did that moment mean to you?
I can't remember if it was Hulk or the office that called me. I think the office actually called me, and then he called me right afterwards. I've been waiting a long time. Greg and I were partners. We were the World Tag Team Champions. He got inducted in 2005, and so I had to wait 14 more years for it to happen. You know, and I actually had somebody pranked me from the WWF main office in 2009, called my home where I was living at the time in Massachusetts, told everybody I was going to the Hall of Fame, and it was a joke. Let me tell you, it wasn't very fun.
Yeah, no, that's not cool.
That was horrible. And so I had already made up my mind. You know what? It doesn't really make that big a difference, although I think it does make a big difference. I resorted to that it wasn't going to happen. So what? You know, I'm not going to hold my head down. I'm going to hold my head up high and realize, you know, that I did my best and gave it everything I had. And there's nothing to be ashamed of for that. And if, you know, I can't make the whole thing, and I can't make it.
So
but I did.
You did. And that was a really cool class, too. It was not just you, but Honky Tonk Man goes in, the Hart Foundation goes in, obviously D-Generation X as well. But looking at some of the other members of that class, what I thought about that one and watching that ceremony was how cool it was to, you know, to kind of see that generation of the 80s and the 90s with you guys and then the late 90s and the 2000s and just, you know, how all of you impacted this business in such a positive way. How cool was it to go in with those, with that group in particular?
Those are my friends that I worked alongside of many, many, many years, and the Hart family, all of them were friends. I ate dinner at Stu Hart's table at, you know, you could seat 14 at, you know, where the family ate at for all those years, and sat in his house and went down in the dungeon, the whole thing. Honky has been my friend. I met him in 77 in Memphis. And so, you know, all those guys have long memories for me and everything. And so it was a real honor and a pleasure to be, you know, brought in with those guys.
We're talking to Brutus the Barber Beefcake, who'll be in town this weekend at the Music City MultiCon. Let me ask you this. Why do you think it still resonates? I talked about, you know, my son loving you. But, I mean, you guys, you bring up your name and Hulk Hogan and Dino Bravo and the Million Dollar Man and on and on and on. Why are you guys still iconic? Can you answer that for us? Because I don't know, and you guys are still as popular now as you were back then.
Well, I have to answer that this way. The business changes throughout the years. Sometimes it changes for the good, sometimes it doesn't. There's nothing you can do about it. The change is inevitable. But the period of time in from the late 70s and the early 80s, and our business was changing, and cable television took over, and now it was possible to run the whole United States as one territory, and that's what Vince did. He had great vision, and he recruited the best talent that was available in basically in the world. Guys came from all around, from all over. And it became just so much talent. It was just the ball was in Vince's court to be able to be creative enough to utilize all the talent that he had in the right way. And he did. He managed to pull it off. And this just he had, you know, every match was like a main event. It wasn't anymore like a. You have one match or two matches at the end of the night that was good. Every match from the start to beginning, start to end, was a great match, had great talent, good people, personalities that people loved to connect with. The wrestlers knew how to connect with the crowd. They knew how to get in the ring and tell a story. It's called working the people, man, you know, connecting with the people out there. Ring psychology, telling a story in the ring. We all told a story in the ring. The good guys trying to beat the bad guys. It was just simple as that. It didn't have to be real complicated. It was just the good guys against the bad guys. And it wasn't a constant gray area where every one day somebody's this and one day somebody's that. People knew who the good guys were. People knew who the bad guys were. And they loved, you know, watching them compete. And that's what we did well.
Well, Brutus, it's going to be awesome to have you in Nashville at the Music City MultiCon this weekend. Thanks so much for doing this. Great to hear the stories and catch up with you.
All right, brother. Just answer me one question. I know I'm seeing 8, 9, 10. Is it because I'm flying in Friday? Is the con on Friday afternoon to Friday, early Friday evening? Because that's a way for them to run, but.
Yeah,
I didn't screw it.
No, you got a set time. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's how the event runs. It's okay. 3 days. So you're all good, brother. Right. We'll see you this weekend.
I can't wait, man. I'm looking forward to a big time. Nashville, the Music City, is number one.
I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. Brutus the Barber Beefcake, the Hall of Famer, on the line with us. So cool.
That is really cool, man.
To you know, hear the stories, and a tag team champion in the WWF, and just those stories back in the day. Had the big clippers.
It was great.
Come out with. It was awesome.
Can we tease who we got tomorrow?
Sure.
Just tell the folks. Jake the Snake Roberts.
And maybe Damian. I don't know. Damian might be in the bag with him. You never know.
Right. So tomorrow at 10:30.
Jake the Snake's actually been in the studio before.
He has.
He has.
I wasn't here. Did he bring the snake?
No, he did not bring the snake. I don't even know if he has it anymore. But that was one of the most – what's interesting about Jake the Snake is he's an iconic wrestler, Hall of Fame wrestler in his own right. But he was a part of launching who could possibly be the – biggest, you know, draw, greatest wrestler of all time in Stone Cold Steve Austin, because
really?
They wrestled in the King of the Ring final. Steve Austin wins the match, and Jake is walking to the locker room, and Steve cuts the promo. You talk your Psalms, you talk your John, you thump your Bible, you talk your John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, "I just whipped your ass." Yeah.
Oh,
it was.
I didn't know that.
And it launched Steve Austin into just a total different stratosphere. But it'll be good to have him on tomorrow and to talk to Jake the Snake and then Billy Gunn on Friday.
Billy Gunn on Friday. Yeah, yeah, this is so all cool. The Music City MultiCon, and it's coming to town in Lebanon this weekend. So if you're looking for something to do, there you go.
Yep. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.